It was March of 2020. NBA fans everywhere were witnessing Giannis's ascension, LeBron's coronation, Kawhi's title defense attempt. We were destined for an amazing finish to the NBA season, but a pandemic had other plans. Fortunately for all of us, Adam Silver and Mickey Mouse joined forces, and now we are days away from the beginning of the end of the 2019-2020 NBA season. Coming up on this three-day special edition of the Locked On NBA podcast, we've got local host previewing every team in Orlando. I'm Doug Branson of Locked On Hornets, and over the next few days, I will be your guide as we virtually crisscross the country, and in some cases, the world, to re-preview the NBA season. Let's go! So here's how this is going to work. We asked every podcast to answer the following questions about their team. Number one, how is your team different now than when you paused the season for the first time? Number two, what is the biggest story surrounding your team right now? And finally, number three, your best educated local expert guess on how your team ends the season. We start in the land of beer and cheese and a Greek god in Milwaukee with the help from the land down under. Here's Locked On Bucks host, Kane Pittman.
What's up, everyone? Kane Pittman here, host of Locked On Bucks. We are very excited about the season restart as the Bucks look to continue a pretty damn impressive season from them and win their second NBA championship in franchise history and the first one since 1971. As far as the Bucks go, how are they different now compared to where they were when the season went down? Well, number one, Giannis is healthy. This is the big thing. This is the only thing that matters for this Milwaukee team. We know their success is going to ride on a healthy Giannis, getting through the bubble, being able to avoid all the other issues that are going to be down there with the virus. We obviously know all about that, but staying healthy. He went down in the third to last game before the season was suspended with a left capsule joint strain. Now, this wasn't an injury that was commonly known. It was potentially only going to keep him out for a week or two. But at that point in time, the concern was among Buck fans, would he be able to come back and be healthy for the start of the postseason? So all indications are, just by looking at Giannis and understanding the work ethic that he has and what we've known in the past with him and how he comes into seasons in fantastic shape, I think that is without doubt the biggest positive for this Milwaukee team. And as he joked about a couple of days ago in the press conference, he's been getting his shots up for a while. So he's certainly coming to Disney in great shape. I think the biggest storyline for the Bucks will be the three-point shooting. Right now, currently, the Bucks sit 16th in the NBA for three-point percentage at 35.6. So a middle-of-the-road team when it comes to three-point percentage, but that's okay. This is exactly where they were in the regular season last year. They finished 15th. 35.3%, so only slightly up on last year. They're going to get volume of three-point shots up. There's no doubt about that. They've surrounded Giannis with the shooting. Giannis himself is now getting those shots up from beyond the arc. But the question will be, how does the three-point shooting stand up when it comes to the playoff pressure? Last year in the first round against Detroit, the Bucks shot 37% from three in a sweep, 34.3% against the Celtics in a five-game comfortable series win, and that dropped off right the way down to 31% against Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals. You can talk about Giannis all you want. His efficiency was down a little bit, but in that series against the Raptors, he still averaged 23 points, 13.5 rebounds, and just a tick under 6 assists per game. He was great, and a lot of the times carrying all the load on both ends of the floor. So the Bucks need the other guys to stand up in this postseason if they are going to have success. If I look at the guys that are gone from last year's team, Malcolm Brogdon obviously stands out, Nico Mirotic as well, the two shooters that have left the team. As far as the guys that have come in, we know Wesley Matthews has been a pretty reliable three-point shooter over the course of his career. Kyle Korver has come into this team, and the wild card, Dante DiVincenzo, has played a huge role. He was injured in last season's postseason. So it's these guys, these shooters, are they able to knock down shots to at least an average mark in the postseason? If they do, we know the Bucks' historical defense might be able to carry them there. Chris Middleton on the verge of 50-40-90 season this year, and George Hill leading the entire NBA at 48% for three-point shooting. Those two guys are going to be the key. There's no doubt about that. But as far as the Bucks' expectations, it's finals or bust for them. Anything less than an NBA finals appearance would be a disappointment for a team that, for a lot of the year, was on 70 game win pace. We know they've got a historic defense, number one last year. They've ramped that up to historical levels this year. It's been incredible to watch. So it's NBA finals or bust for the Bucks. Of course, we know a pretty big offseason coming up for them. I always feel like saying summer, but a big offseason for the Bucks with Giannis eligible to sign an extension once this season is done. So high expectations on the Bucks. We really can't wait to get back into it.
We travel next to Miami, where Locked On Heat host David Ramil tells us if Jimmy Butler has the Heat turned all the way up to 100.
Perhaps no team has as many questions surrounding it as the Miami Heat. There were higher expectations after adding Jimmy Butler last year, but even those were greatly surpassed when the team reached a 41-24 record, good enough for the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference prior to the midseason pause. Still, the team was floundering a bit by the time mid-March rolled around, routinely letting big leads slip and playing uncharacteristically poor defense. But at least part of that had to do with some injury issues, as Myers Leonard and Tyler Hero were both out of the lineup and Butler was attempting to play through nagging injuries that were leading to a season-long struggle with his jump shot. But the team is healthy now, with everyone at 100%, and older veterans like Goran Dragic and Andre Iguodala are finding ways to contribute. Iguodala, along with Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill, were added to the team at the February trade deadline, perhaps another factor in the team's struggles as they tried to incorporate new players into the rotation. And if there's a storyline to watch, it's that trade that helps define it. For one, it's imperative that the new players find a way to produce on a fully healthy roster. But as a bigger picture, the trade of a young player like Justice Winslow for veterans like Iguodala and Crowder shows much more of a win-now mentality from the front office, where they expect to be able to push teams in the Eastern Conference for a deep playoff run. Additionally, the team is also relying heavily on young players like Hero, fellow rookie Kendrick Nunn, and Duncan Robinson, who's in his second year but has emerged as one of the best shooters in the league. If the team's first scrimmage is any indication, his shooting hasn't suffered from the long layoff at all, and he is a dangerous weapon on offense that draws so much attention from defenses that it allows his teammates to have much more room to operate. But this balance of young players and seasoned veterans is an interesting one that everyone in the organization believes that it works at a high level, even if it could conceivably fall apart. You might be able to say that about almost every team in the bubble, given these circumstances are so unusual and no one knows what to expect in Orlando. But Miami's success this season has already been unpredictable. Additionally, it may have jump-started a plan to become a contender that was probably a year or two away. A title still seems unlikely, but a berth in the conference finals is possible, even if it means going through Milwaukee to reach that point. Miami had regular season success versus the Bucks, and while that rarely translates into the postseason, there's a blueprint in place the team is confident they can replicate. They'll be well coached by Eric Spoelstra. They have championship experience in Iguodala, as well as a historically clutch performer in Butler. If Miami's league-leading perimeter shooting doesn't taper off and the defense meshes as well as expected, a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals is probably the goal, and I believe they'll achieve it. Be sure to listen to Locked On Heat to find out if Miami's more contender than pretender throughout the rest of the season.
A confident guess and a shameless plug. I love it. Up next, a little R&R. Rockets and Raptors, an NBA title matchup that would be neither restful nor relaxing. Have you subscribed to Locked On NBA yet? If you haven't, if you're just listening for the first time, it's a great way to get daily updates on what's going down in the bubble. Different host every day, and you've got Ben Golliver on Mondays who is reporting live from the bubble, and he's reporting there for the Washington Post. So we've got fantastic experts. Plus, we've got a couple of national shows. If you don't know about those, Hollinger and Duncan, John Hollinger, Nate Duncan, amazing basketball experts. They are giving you their opinions on Hollinger and Duncan, and also Rejecting the Screen with Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko. An amazing lineup of shows that go along with your local show. Speaking of a local show, how about we go to Jackson Gatlin in Houston for a take on the Rockets. Is this finally the year of the beard?
What's up? It's Jackson Gatlin from over at Locked On Rockets here to give you a season re-preview on all things Clutch City. So how are the Rockets different now than when the season was paused? Well, two things come to mind. First is kind of serious. The second is a bit less serious. First, they're healthy. And this means they'll be healthy for the first time all year. And look, injuries are a thing that every team deals with, but injuries really ravaged this team throughout parts of its season, constantly missing crucial players throughout different stretches of the season, and probably most importantly, missing their third best player on the roster in Eric Gordon. He started the season, played the first about 10 games or so, was just never quite right, then sat out, got his knee worked on, and came back, and still hadn't quite hit his stride. And so now it's reported Eric says that he is fine, 100% good to go for the remainder of the season, for the continuation of the season. And he truly is the X factor for this Rockets team. So having a healthy Eric Gordon back is one of the first things that come to mind. And the second thing, it's a bit more of a joke, but the Rockets have actually gotten shorter, believe it or not. So small ball is absolutely here to stay for the Houston Rockets. They waived the second of only two centers on their active roster in Isaiah Hartenstein to make way for the signing of David Nwaba, a 6'5 defensive versatile wing, because one, he's not even going to play the remainder of this NBA season because he's rehabbing an Achilles tear that he suffered earlier this season. So this is a signing for the future, which points, you know, all signs point to the fact that small ball is here to stay. If you're going to get rid of a young promising big in Isaiah Hartenstein to make way for another wing to add to this collection of wings that Daryl Morey has been kind of piling up over time, then I think that kind of points to the sign that small ball is here to stay, and I don't think anybody should expect anything different out of this Rockets organization moving forward. As for biggest storyline for this team, it honestly might be kind of a two-way tie between, one, just the continuation of Rockets small ball and seeing whether this style of basketball, you know, nobody on the court taller than 6'7 in the starting lineup can legitimately win a championship title. And also between the fact that James Harden dropped about 20 pounds during the hiatus. And if you've seen the photos of him on social media, what he looked like after his intensive training camp in Arizona for a week, where he came out and, you know, there's this picture of him, you know, escaping out of the desert. It looks like something out of the Dark Knight Rises, as Batman made it out of the desert. Just, you know, this very iconic photo of him. And it'll be interesting to see just how explosive he is and how this, you know, improves his game, and, you know, being able to run in transition now alongside Russell Westbrook more effectively, and just all the different things that this is going to play into, and how that weight loss will more than likely affect his game for the better. So that, and just whether or not you can actually win without a center. So those are probably the two biggest storylines. And then my best guess on how the Rockets season ends has not changed from my original season preview for the Locked On Network. I think the Rockets are going all the way this year with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. The only difference is now, as they hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy over their heads, Disney's It's a Small World will be playing victoriously in the background as they ride off into the Orlando sunset.
In order to hoist that trophy, that Larry O'Brien trophy, and bring it back to the land of the free and the home of the brave, they are going to have to contend with the defending NBA champions. That's the Toronto Raptors, and host Sean Woodley gives us the re-preview there.
Hey everyone, Sean Woodley here from Locked On Raptors to give you a season re-preview of the 2019 defending NBA champions, the still defending NBA champion, Toronto Raptors. How are the Raptors different now than they were when the season paused? Well, they're still champions, so nothing has changed there. The main thing is that they're healthy. This is obviously a pretty talented and deep team. The thing is that they've been hurt all season long. They've had most of their main rotation spend at least 10-plus games out of the lineup. Norman Powell's missed two extended stints. Marcus Gasol's missed two extended stints. Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam, Serge Ibaka all missed extended time at one point or another. And that has been obviously difficult for the Raptors to navigate. I mean, they've done just fine. They're 46-18, but we haven't gotten to see this team at full flight, and in the 17 or so games where they have had all of their starting five, for example, they've been absolutely pasting teams, including a 15-game winning streak at one point this year. Now that they're healthy, I think we're going to see finally some like meaningful lineup data put together. We're going to see the Raptors kind of use their full complement of players, and I think that could inform what the current biggest storyline for the team is, at least in my estimation, in terms of on-court play, and that is the half-court offense. It has been a question kind of at times this season against really good teams. They've been a very good offensive team overall. They're kind of in that mix between like 4 and 15 in the league in offensive efficiency, one game away from climbing two or three spots, but they've been not so great in the half court. They've really thrived on transition. They're top three in terms of efficiency when they're on the run, but they're 18th right now in terms of half court offensive efficiency. And that obviously is going to matter when it gets to the playoffs, where things slow down and the half court is often how things are executed. I do think there's some hope there. I think, again, having everybody healthy, having Marc Gasol as an extra creator, working at the elbows and things like that, along with Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam, Norman Powell, who's been incredible and is still the reigning Eastern Conference Player of the Week in the NBA. That's crazy, but that's true. I think those guys can kind of help, and there's a lot of different ways in which the team can operate. They can play spread pick and roll. They can play sort of a quick off-ball action style game. They can give it to Pascal Siakam to go to work in the post. Lots of different things they can do to grease the wheels, but that is going to be a very important thing to keep an eye on. In particular, Pascal Siakam takes on extreme importance in this. If he can find a way to improve his mid-range game, which there were signs this season that he was working on it, and he's already an excellent driver, excellent three-point shooter from above the arc on pull-ups and things like that. If he can work on that mid-range and kind of replicate a little bit of what Kawhi Leonard did last year for the Raptors, I think that should go a long way to helping the team navigate those close crunch time games where, you know, things slow down and the half court becomes everything. And, you know, the nice thing about the Raptors is that their defense is transcendent. Number two in the league, just behind the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, quite a bit behind the Milwaukee Bucks because their defense is absurd, but still very comfortably in number two in the league. And with that defense being so good, the offense doesn't have to be top three, top four worthy. It can be top 10-ish, and that is totally fine in the half court for the Raptors to, I think, make some real hay in the playoffs. And on that note, my best guess to how the season finishes, I think the Raptors probably go down in noble fashion to the Milwaukee Bucks in like six games or something like that in the Eastern Conference Finals. The half-court defense for the Bucks might just be too good for the Raptors to really get enough points out of the equation. They have enough dudes to defend Giannis. I think it would be a very close and intense series, but I do think Milwaukee probably takes it just by the fact that they have the best player in the series by quite a bit, and that will be the deciding factor. So I guess the Bucks get some revenge, but I don't think there will be any sour feelings because Toronto Raptors fans absolutely adore this year's version of the team, even more so than the title-winning version of the team last year. This team has been wonderful to watch all season long, incredibly exciting, incredibly just intense at all times, really competitive, and going 46-18 and finally getting a chance to close out that season, I think is going to be enough for Raptors fans to really just be happy with what happened this year. The fact that they get to close off this story and finish their title defense the right way is the thing I'm most excited to see when it comes to the NBA's restart. That's going to do it for me. Thanks so much. Go listen to Locked On Raptors for daily talk about the defending NBA champion Toronto Raptors, and have a good one.
I've got three more teams to preview for you in the final segment: the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Brooklyn Nets, and one of those fun teams, in my opinion, to watch, and they just look like they're having a lot of fun, the Dallas Mavericks. Don't Luka away. We've got more. Get it? Luka. It takes two hosts to cover everything that's going on with the Dallas Mavericks, and I'll say what they normally say on their show. Nick Angstedt, Isaac Harris, what you got for us?
Our team is different now than when we paused the season, because Boban ended the season as the greatest player in NBA history. He ended that last game against the Nuggets with an incredible line, and he's just going to take over. He's going to take over in the bubble. He's already taken over in the bubble as one of the most entertaining players. But Luka Doncic, one of the best players in the NBA, that's still the same thing. Him and Porzingis really started to bond through the end of that last part of the season. They do not have Jalen Brunson. They do not have Dwight Powell. They are going to be without Courtney Lee as well. And so they're missing some players, adding Trey Burke into that if he ever ends up, you know, getting to the bubble. So the team will look slightly different, but the main core of players is still there, and this team is going to look pretty good heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, main core still there. They just hit their full stride right before quarantine happened. KP, Luka on the same page. KP back healthy, looking really good. But the biggest difference for this team, the fact that Jalen Brunson elected to have shoulder surgery during the hiatus. Dwight Powell already rolled out for the rest of the season. Courtney Lee was just getting starts and stuff and actually rotation minutes for the team before the hiatus, and he had an injury during quarantine life too. So missing some players, but hopefully they can pick up where they left off.
The biggest storyline for this Mavericks team right now has actually been how fun they are in the bubble, right? I think that that's the most fun thing that's happened, the biggest storyline. But then basketball-wise, I think the seeding really matters. Right now, the Mavericks are 1.5 games back behind both the Rockets and the Thunder, so they can move all up and down these standings right now. And so that is kind of the big storyline right now, is where they're going to end up and who their first-round matchup is going to be, because if they duck one of the two LA teams, they have a good chance of winning a playoff series.
Mavericks as a sneaky pick for upsets. I mean, that's going to be the sexy pick across national networks. But I'm going to build on top of that a little bit and say I think one of the biggest storylines is KP, Luka Doncic getting their first playoff experience. This being a young team, they've put this young core together, this young duo together, superstar duo. Neither one of them have played in the playoffs before. Basically, whatever happens in Disney, they're going to get a taste of the playoffs and hopefully build on this for the years to come.
And our best guess is how the season is going to end. Isaac and I, we just absolutely adore predicting things. We just, you know, we go through the schedule. We predict every single game. We just love it. How this is going to end. So I think the Mavericks end up in the 5 or 6 seed. I think they end up playing the Nuggets or the Jazz. And then I think they win the first round. I'm calling it. Call us homers or whatever. I'm calling a first round win over the Nuggets or the Jazz.
Yeah, I'll take a similar route. If they can avoid the Clippers in the first round, I'll go with you. I'll call the first round upset. We'll be super hyped and excited about it, and then see what they can do in the second round. And, I mean, you never know when you have an MVP candidate in Luka Doncic.
Absolutely never know. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick Van Exit, at Isaac L. Harris, at Locked On Mavs. All kinds of coverage. Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, the most fun team in the bubble so far. So come hang out with us on Locked On Mavs.
The Brooklyn Nets are starless, but they are still standing. We've got the host of Locked On Nets to tell us what to expect out of Brooklyn in the bubble.
A lot has changed for this team in the last few months, but what is most different now from when the Nets paused the season back in March?
There's a lot of big differences, mostly the players themselves. Like, so many have tested positive for the coronavirus. Plus, you had Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, who were already out for the season with their respective injuries. So this roster is kind of completely different from the one that we saw most of the season, and then even at the end of the season. No Spencer Dinwiddie, no Taurean Prince, no Wilson Chandler, no DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, basically everything is different for this Nets team. You have guys like Jeremiah Martin, Jamal Crawford coming in. You're going to have a much different roster there, one that's being led by guys like Caris LeVert and Jarrett Allen and Joe Harris, and new guys like Rhody Kurucs, who kind of got buried this season, that has more of a chance. Speaking of Caris LeVert, he's probably the biggest storyline for this Nets team. I mean, Marcus, how do you see him looking now that he's basically expected to be the guy for the Nets if they have any sort of hope of winning a game out in Orlando?
Yeah, I mean, him and Jared Allen are both kind of playing a little bit to kind of showcase what they can do in a possible trade. There's been a lot of rumors about the Nets trying to bring in a third star to pair with Kyrie and Kevin Durant, and Jared Allen, Caris LeVert. Those are two of the Nets' biggest trade chips. And now, partially because of injury, partially because of the coronavirus, whatever you want to call it, now there's a situation where those two guys are really out on the forefront, kind of showing what they can do as the top two options for an NBA team. And so it really is a situation where they can kind of showcase everything. And maybe the better they play, the more likely they are to be traded. We've talked about that. So a lot to watch with those two guys in terms of how their play impacts whether or not they're even on the team next season.
Also, you know, can Jamal Crawford capture the magic from when he was 28 or 30, or hell, even his 51-point game last season, you know? So I think a lot of big storylines there, some more realistic than others. But in terms of how we're feeling about how this season ends, Marcus, I think both of us are not super optimistic. I think we can kind of bank on a playoff spot at least, given they're 6 games up on the Wizards, and I think they'll outperform them, or not get outperformed by at least 2 games to stop from that playoff, that play-in game from being triggered. But after that, I think it's pretty short order that they're getting swept by Milwaukee. Are we on the same page with that?
Oh, 100%. I'm expecting them to win maybe 2 games. They've got a couple ones that could be winnable. They do play the Wizards, so that's one they could win, and then maybe they steal one more. But yeah, then swept by Milwaukee is ultimately where I feel like this bubble is headed for the Nets.
Yep, it is a interesting state of affairs here in Brooklyn. And now back to the show.
With all of the star power that you have out in Los Angeles, it can be easy to miss what some of these other Western Conference contenders have been putting together. But Locked On Thunder host Rylan Stiles says, don't sleep through this storm.
When the Thunder last played basketball, they stole a win in Boston against the Boston Celtics, which really encapsulates this entire season for the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder have earned scrappy win after scrappy win thanks to amazing clutch time basketball, being one of the best clutch teams in the sport. The team has been built on their chemistry on the floor and off of it, and they've been making the necessary plays at the end of games to win basketball games. The biggest question right now around the Thunder is, can this chemistry carry over to the bubble after a layoff that's been longer than most off seasons are? Another big storyline around Oklahoma City is Andre Roberson. And Roberson dealt with a gruesome knee injury 2 years ago and has not played basketball since. But all signs are positive right now in the direction of him playing once we get games going in Orlando. He's practiced every day for the Thunder, and he looks ready to go. Andre Roberson was once one of the best defenders in the NBA. In fact, he was so good that while sharing a court with Paul George, he would oftentimes take the lead score. If Andre Roberson can get back on the floor this year, the question becomes, how good is he defensively? Can he get back to that once elite defensive form in just 8 seeding games prior to the postseason? You look at Andre Roberson, and he might not be able to go back to being a starter immediately, but the Thunder are hoping they can get 10 to 12 quality minutes from him to really shore up that wing depth. But they've also gotten big contributions from undrafted rookie Lu Dort, who's been filling that role nicely at the two guard position. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is another storyline in Oklahoma City. With a layoff longer than most off seasons, can he progress his game even further and make an even bigger jump before we start the postseason? The Oklahoma City Thunder were set to take over 4th place in the West with the Utah Jazz game the night that basketball stopped in Oklahoma City, and they have shown over the course of this season that they are one of the best teams in the Western Conference. The expectation for the Thunder team, which came into the season with a 0.2% chance of making the postseason, should be to reach the second round. The only thing that stands in their way of that possibility is not having Dennis Schroeder, who will leave the bubble in 3 to 4 weeks for the birth of his child. Schroeder is not only the frontrunner for 6th man of the year, but he's also a part of the Thunder's most effective lineup and closing lineup that Billy Donovan can throw out there. But if this Thunder team can have Dennis Schroeder in the postseason, the expectation level for this team should be the second round of the playoffs. In a wacky Orlando bubble scenario with no fans and no travel, it leads itself to more upsets. And in the first round, the Thunder won't really be upsetting anyone, as they've proven they're one of the top teams in the West. But once you move on to that second round, maybe they can catch one of the top LA teams slipping in a non-traditional environment. For more on the Oklahoma City Thunder, go check out Locked On Thunder and follow me on Twitter at Rylan_Stiles.
We have more teams to re-preview in this 3-part NBA season re-preview podcast special on Locked On NBA, including in part 2, the Los Angeles Clippers, the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Denver Nuggets. So if you haven't already, make sure you slam that subscribe button on Locked On NBA, on Hollinger and Duncan, on Rejecting the Screen. The Locked On Podcast Network has some of the most amazing NBA podcasts anywhere. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Happy basketball. It's back, everybody.